Hey, Todd, how are you doing?
Hey, Shane, how are you? Good, I'm doing well.
Yeah, just the old Bluetooth thing, like you turn on Spaces and every headphone you have in the house kicks on. Oh my goodness, too many people in this house. We'll give let's see if we can find Leanne here. I think she's coming. We'll get her on here. We'll let the room fill up a little bit, but it should be fun today. Gonna have always nice to talk to you. I talk to you privately, so it's always good to maybe share some of that great information that you have with everybody. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too as well.
We'll go ahead and get started because we've already got the room going. We've got plenty of time to have Leanne come on a little later as she comes on here. She's over in England, so a little bit of a time change, a little bit later for her. So it's evening meal time. So, well, I'll start introducing myself as we get Leanne here. Yeah, I'm Shane Galtra. I am a domain investor for the last 15 years. I've been writing a daily list at DSAD.com. We kind of go over the daily list every day of domains at auction, and there are lots of auctions at various marketplaces. And Todd's is definitely one of the up and coming. It's getting better every week with new expiring domains. The bigger you get, the more they fall, literally, the more domains go to expiry. So by that, I have a portfolio of about now 700 domains. I consider myself a full-time investor because I used to be a nurseryman. I used to grow plants for a living, having a nice, patient, relaxed lifestyle as much as I could be with retail. Now I do this and I run a site I'm starting called botany.com. So I'm in domains and I'm in plants. So, but I love talking to intelligent people, and there's lots of them in the domain space. And one of them that we have is Todd Hahn, who is the founder of Dynadot. And it's the number five, right? Is that correct, Todd? Number five in the world?
Yes, that's right. Number five in the world. Yep.
And moving quickly. Every time I look up, there's hundreds of thousands of more domains there, and a credit to your team. But I'll let you kind of introduce yourself before we get dig a little deeper, but just let you do your general introduction. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Sure. So my name is Todd Hahn. I have a background in computer science, and even as a young boy, I love computers. And I remember in middle school, I wrote my first program. It was like this little game. And I just knew, like, from a very early age that I wanted to do stuff with computers. And so I went to college. I'm based in California. I went to UC Berkeley and studied computer science. The reason I started Dynadot was because my mom wanted a website for her vacation house in Mexico. This was back in 2000. And so I was using some other registrar, and I just thought to myself, I don't really like this control panel, and I can do something better myself. And being kind of young and naive and not re really knowing much about business, I just kind of jumped in and I applied for an ICANN accreditation. And I remember waiting for like 6 months for them to approve it. But yeah, they finally gave it to me. And so then I started coding up the site, and we launched back in 2002. So that's kind of the how it started in a nutshell.
So from your idea of wanting to start this, it took 2 years to go through all the paperwork and everything you needed to do to launch. So it was a pretty good long time, huh?
Yeah, it took me a year to just work up the courage to do it. And then it took like a year to apply to ICANN, because it took me months to fill out their application. This was before all the drop catching, where people automated all that and like had hundreds of applications. But yeah, I took my time and I answered each question. I was researching stuff because I didn't know anything about business. They needed me to have like a bank account with, I think it was like $70,000 in it. And so yeah, so I had to get all that stuff ready. So yeah, it took me about like a year or two to get the accreditation.
Yeah, and that's a question. Again, if anything I ask is too personal or you can't talk about, you can go ahead and say pass and nobody have a problem. But when you're starting that and you're younger like that, what was a bigger obstacle for you? Was it the finances? Was it finding the technical people? What was your biggest obstacle of starting a registrar back then? I know it's different now, but.
I did have a job before this, so I had the $70,000. It wasn't a huge obstacle, though it was about all I had, though. So, and I think the biggest challenge was just having the courage to do it, because I do remember back then, I told my family, hey, I'm going to start this domain registrar. And their first question is like, what's a domain? What's a registrar? They had no idea what it was. And then throughout the process, they kept on sending me like job listings, like, hey, why don't you go work for this company or this company? You know, like they just didn't really believe in the idea. And I think only my wife kind of believed in me. So I think that was the hardest, just like having the belief in yourself to do it.
But isn't that the truth? That's literally the only person that really needs to believe in you is a person that sleeps next to you. I mean, I've always found that I was a 1 + 1 = 3, and not that she lifted a finger at any point and helped me with my business. Like when I needed retail help on the weekend, she was nah, you got this. But as far as support and not being any headwinds and saying, maybe you need to get a real job or maybe you need to this. I think that's really important on anything we do. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Just having someone kind of behind you and kind of believing in you, I think that makes all the difference in the world. So I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, I credit my wife to everything. And like I said, I don't know that she ever really came in and helped, but she didn't hinder and she supported and was proud of me. And when you have a bad day, they listen. Whether they want to listen or not, they do listen. I think that's really good. And it lets us just do our thing. And behind every successful person is another person that supports them. So I think that's a great story.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah.
And so when the first iteration came around, what was your goals? Like, what did you, you know, a lot of people get started in doing something because they want to do, they can do better. Like that's a really good business model. You look at something and you say, I can either fix, or I know that, or I can even do better. What was your goal, like out of the gate? What was the first goal you set for yourself that you considered, hey, this is going to work?
My initial business goal was to just get 1 million domains under management and then just kind of coast. And just, I was going to charge like $1 over my cost. And then theoretically I would make 1 million a year. Right. But that was just a pipe dream because it actually took us about 16 years to get 2 million domains. it was a lot harder than I anticipated.
Did you say 16 or?
Yeah, 16. Yeah, because we started in 2002, right? We didn't hit 1 million until 2018. So that's 16 years for us to hit 1 million. And those $1 margins are long gone. That's not going to happen because we have basically very little pricing power. Like our margins are about 5%, you know, so we make, you know, like on a $10 domain, we're making like 50 cents or less, you know, and then we have all these expenses, office employees, ICANN fees, you know. So yeah, it's a very low margin business.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it that, you know, the business model has kind of become not necessarily making money on the domains, but making it on the value added services to try and kind of help bring some more income. Did you see with the new GTLDs and those margins be a little better? Were those helpful when that round came 10 years ago?
I would say yes and no. Yes, on the long tail ones that are maybe lower volume, we did mark it up more, maybe 10 or 15% margins. But they're on the high volume ones, like for example, .club or XYZ or VIP, the margins are still very low because it is really just a numbers game. You know, people, they just go to where they can get the best prices, and to move volume, you just have to compete on price. There's no way around it.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. If you were, you know, you're kind of known. The one thing about Dynadot, and I think I can share this, but up to some of the larger registrars, and they still consider you a goal as a nimble company, the ability to add value and fix things and, you know, change. How did you keep that nimbleness over, you know, over the years? Understandably, when you were younger, a company, then it's doable. But now that you're, how many employees do you have now?
We're at 150 employees.
So with 150 employees, how do you stay so nimble? What would you say that the reasoning behind that is?
Well, a couple of reasons. One, we have a pretty flat management structure. So we don't have a lot of layers of management. And I would say each employee has a lot of decision-making power. They're given a lot of leeway to make choices that are good for the company. And so that is kind of a very typical like tech company ethos. you know, push decisions down as far as you can to the people that have the most information. And then secondly, we have a very large engineering team. I was writing our report for this year, and I was running some numbers, and I think about 60% of our employees are either technical or designers, so basically product people. So we're just very heavy on the product side, which helps us, you know, build features that our customers want.
And how about the layout of your company? Is it a very flat organization? Are there layers that one person is responsible for a lot of people below them, or is it really flat where you tend to be involved in a lot of things? And has that changed over the years?
Yeah, I mean, we used to be flat org and it was just me and then everyone else, but that didn't scale once we hit about 20 people because there's no way I could keep track of that many people. So we are still relatively flat. I think we only have maybe three layers in our company under me. So I would say it's relatively flat.
Yeah, it definitely keeps you busy. I know that you get a lot of emails. You know, I noticed over the last couple of years that you are trying to make more effort to be more forward-facing yourself personally. How has that been? Have you enjoyed that? Is it a challenge? Are there benefits and draws? What's that been looking like to you to be more forward-facing?
Oh, man, I only wish I had joined Twitter sooner. It's actually a lot of fun. I learn a lot on Twitter. Yeah, definitely. I post a lot of info about Dynadot and about like stats that we have internally. But I think it's very, very, very reciprocal. I learn so much from our customers. You know, they say good things about us. They say bad things. I learn a lot about the bad things. You know, we try to fix all the problems that people report. And people, you know, they give very direct feedback. So it's been wonderful. I really love being on Twitter.
Yeah, I think do you get a lot of DMs as a result? Like, does your private messages, do they try and get you to help with problems? Are they pretty good about going to the main page?
Yeah, I get DMs with problems, and either I try to fix them or I ask someone, you know, because I do know, like, who to ask in the company if there's a problem. So I don't mind doing that, actually, because once we solve a problem, we try to solve it like the root cause. And so like once it's solved, it's basically solved for everyone. So like, I don't mind that at all.
Yeah, no, I think you've had I've used you as an example of people coming and being more active on social media, because I do think the future, you know, the future of marketing is our voices, right? Authoritative voices and front facing people, whether it's whatever the reason that makes them authoritative, is different. Like, there's some people that are just beautiful. There's some people that are really talented. And then there's people like yourself who built a great business that have a lot to share, a good story. And so I think you've done a really good job being more present and answering questions. And like I said, I've noticed it right off the bat. And you're really good at it too, because you can tell that you enjoy what you do and you enjoy making the company better. I mean, you're all in, but you're also participating. And that's hard to do, right? It's hard to participate and run a business.
Yeah, it is hard. I have had some complaints that I don't respond that fast on Twitter. And it is true, but I have you know, a lot of other stuff, a lot of other meetings I have to attend to. But I try to get on Twitter maybe at least once a day, you know, check my messages and reply to people. So I would say I only spend maybe an hour a day on Twitter. So that's why I'm not maybe that as active as some other people.
No, that's still pretty good. That's still pretty good. Well, we've a couple of things before we get to some more questions. I have Leanne here. Does anybody else, can you see her in the audience? I can't see her, and a request to speak does not come to me. Is anybody else, can you give me a thumbs up if you see her in the audience, or is it just me? It seems to be, she's taking screenshots of the audience and it shows her right in there, but I don't see her anywhere. Is anybody else a thumbs down, thumbs up? See Leanne Mack in the audience? Nobody? Well, yeah, so good. It's not only me. Well, we are definitely going to get Leanne on here because she would be a great add. I mean, Todd and I can talk the whole time, but we certainly would love Leanne to join us, and we will in some time. This wouldn't be any fun if we didn't have some technical issues here. So I appreciate everybody out of saying that. So one of the things that I don't know a lot of people know about, but you were smart enough to acquire Park.io from two of our great friends, Steve Webb and team there. And what made you, what did you see in that site that you thought would be a good add to the Dynadot ecosystem?
Well, I think it's in terms of like their income statement and balance sheet, they were actually a pretty good business. They were making good profits every year. And so just from a numbers perspective, it made sense. And then also, of course, we were interested in their AI contract because we thought we could kind of expand the reach of their auctions. Because I don't know if you remember, but originally you had to go to like a site run by the central registry. It was called whois.auctions.ai, sorry, auctions.whois.ai. But we thought if we kind of could expand those auctions onto Dynadot while keeping them on the original site, we could expand the reach kind of auctions. And that's what we did. Yeah.
Yeah. And that is that something that you plan on the in the future of bringing? Are the Dynadot, like the .gg and all that, those aren't on yet, are they? Is that something you plan on bringing on those alternate TLD expiry auctions that they do so well?
Yeah, we'd love to. I mean, we've talked to them. So far, we've just done some special, like one-time auctions of some of their reserve domains. But yeah, I mean, we'd love to have them send their expired. The CCs, I think they have maybe different decision-making processes than the GTLDs. So we're kind of just waiting for them to decide what they want to do.
Yeah, that's and that's Mike Carson and Steve Webb. Again, Mike Carson, when he first bought, I think, .io, which is now, I guess, Identity Digital, they definitely owe some credit to, or the IO extension owes credit to Mike Carson for bringing IO into prominence. It really wasn't going well until showcased them as being a technological ending or TLD, and he really killed it early. So I think it's a great acquisition. We know Steve Webb's and one of the smartest people we know. So just bringing him and helping him, having him come into the team and helping is a great move. But we have, Leanne has made it up after three or four times. So we're so honored to have Leanne McMahon here with us. She is a domain investor that came up through I'll let her kind of introduce herself first, and then I'll get to a couple questions for her as well. Leanne, welcome, finally.
Hey, can you hear me okay now?
We sure can. Sorry about all the confusion earlier.
I switched to the laptop and it's worked on there, so all good. So my name's Leanne. I run a website called crunch.id, where I take name bio sales data from a previous day and just do a bit of a deep dive on it. On name bio, it's kind of a list, so it will just say this name sold here for this much. So I'll go in and say, you know, how old was the domain? How many words did it consist of? What percentage were .coms? You know, that kind of thing. So just take a deeper dive so we can better understand what's selling in the industry. And I've been in the industry for maybe 3.5-4 years now, and went through DN Academy as a starting ground, and then I've just been learning on my own since then.
Yeah, that's where I first saw you, sitting at the Domain Academy table. I think were you in Austin one year, one of those first years?
No, I've only been to Austin once, so it's 2023.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought I remember you sitting there early, yeah. But I do remember that was a big part of you coming through and learning what you do. And consistency has been one of the things that you've done amazingly well. I think it's so important in domain investing is to do something every day. And you've done a great job of consistently working every day. Before domains, what were you doing before? And what did you think you were going to do for a living prior to finding domains?
Good question. I was doing web design before. So I'd been in that space just sort of freelancing for maybe around 10 years. But I didn't know where that was going to lead. I kind of knew that wasn't the end game, but I didn't really know where it was going. So then when I reached a point with the web design business where I just couldn't face, you know, make the logo bigger one more time, I started looking for a sidestep. So I knew it probably wouldn't be hosting. And then I revisited domains, which is something I'd looked at many, many years ago. I joined Twitter then, I think, started following Michael Saiga. I think he was the first one I followed. and he was sort of heavily promoting DN Academy at the time. So I just kind of followed him for a bit and then took a dive into that. And then I thought, okay, well, this is what I want to sidestep to, and this is my future. Like, I could see myself doing that for a very long time. So yeah, that was about 4 years ago. So it's been my future and my past and present for that time, and long may it continue.
And was there a moment where you said, I think I can do this full time? I think I can pay my bills. I think I can do this and only this. Was there a sale? Was there anything that just was a moment that you knew, okay, this is what I can do for a living?
I really liked the vibe of the industry. So I kind of liked the community. It was around the early sort of COVID days, and Michael was doing the domain socials, which Arif picked up afterwards, and just sort of seeing that community and hearing people talk about the industry, that sort of latched me on. And then I think I had about 10, 20 names, and I sold one for, I think it was only like $300-$400, but I've done small web projects for that amount of money that took me, you know, a week or two. So just when I kind of saw that and saw that if you got the knowledge behind you and sold, you know, that could be a really nice income and a really nice day-to-day way of working and industry. So I think it was a combination of just sort of seeing how the industry worked, getting that small sale just to kind of give me a boost of like, okay, well, I bought this name a month ago, maybe not even that, and I just sold it for $300. I think that gives you a huge spring in your step, doesn't it, when you sell one when your numbers aren't that high.
Yeah, absolutely. When you sell a domain and then compare it to how many hours you used to have to work in your other job, it makes the other job a little harder to do sometimes.
Exactly that. So yeah, that was a big one for me. I mean, what about you? When did you first, I mean, I know this isn't your full-time thing and it probably never will be because not that kind of guy, you've always got your fingers in lots of pies, but
yeah,
from the domain side for you, what was the hook for you?
Yeah, I think it was you know, in life you're looking for consistent, you know, and I always put everything back to like gardening, because gardening and plants are for everything, and you're looking for what they call lawn care income. So that means, if you know, the people that mow your lawns, they do it for pretty cheap, but it's regular income. That means you come and cut grass every week and you always have that job. You always have, it'd be the same as domains under management. There's always that revenue source. You have that main income source that keeps you paying the bills and keeps you from starving. And then you have those big sales that allow you to do things special, maybe buy more inventory or buy something that you wouldn't normally be able to buy. And with domain names, I was always, not just domain names, but I was looking for that something else, because Todd can probably can verify this. When you run a business, all your money goes back in the business. People look at our businesses and see us with 50 employees or 100 employees. You know, I was doing $8 million. I do $8 million a year in the nursery business, and we make a lot of money. But the money goes right back into employees getting more, you know, raises, buying more equipment, more infrastructure, growing the business so that your employees and your business continue moving forward. So you don't take a lot of money out. And so you don't have any cash. You never have cash. So I was always trying to find something. And I always was looking for, and when I found domains, it was definitely it. It was everything you said earlier, that it allowed me to buy something and sell it for a lot more. I could be patient because I didn't have to pay my bills with it. And that's why it's never been the main source, is because I can grow faster. That's the reason people take VC money. Nobody in the right mind would ever take VC money to start a business. But the reason a lot of people do is to grow faster and to move fast so they can reach new levels in a much shorter period of time. And so that's what domain names have done with me in my life, is it's enabled me to get to retire at 52 and faster with domain names. So that's kind of how I look at everything. I have my regular businesses that pay the bills, and then I have domain names to really make life special. And Todd, would you agree on that investment part? That's sometimes the hardest part of a business.
Yes, I agree 100%. I actually, personally, I don't make that much money, and I don't take any money out of the company. Everything goes back into, like you mentioned, hiring people, investing in new products, equipment, laptops for people. Yeah, it's kind of like, I don't know if you remember, like, Jeff Bezos running Amazon, like, for years and years. Like, I don't know, like 10, 15 years, like, Amazon made no money at all, you know, because they take all that money, all their margin, and they put it right back into the business.
Yep.
So yeah, it's very, yeah, I would agree with that.
Every year you have to, when you run a business, you kind of, I told somebody the other day, the biggest pride that all I could do is look at the parking lot of my employees. And as the cars got better and better, that's what made me proud, right? Is that's where all the money was going, is they were able to buy more things and have a better life. And I know that it's not just words. That's just, if you're not like that as a business, you're in trouble, because you just have to keep piling more money. And so you're asset rich. Like when my daughter was applying to colleges, I got zero loans because they're like, you're a super wealthy man. And I'm like, I got $12 in the account. Like, you know, it's just cash poor. And only people that run businesses will truly understand that. So having income that you can do both. Do you, Todd, do you have any domains as investments, or is that just not something you do? You just keep all everything in your, in the business.
I own about, I think, 11 domains. So I wouldn't say I'm an investor, and I have to admit, I don't understand investing quite as much as people that do it full time. I've learned over the years, but it's always been kind of from the sidelines. And I think that's something that some of our customers like about us, is that we don't have a portfolio. Like Dynadot owns maybe 20 domains or something. So we don't look at your accounts, we don't look at your data, we don't look at your searches, because we really have no incentive to. We're not trying to build a portfolio at all, you know. So
yeah, so that's a good question. And so if you're not really as a domain investor, you know, one of the important things, well, I shouldn't say most important, but a very valuable tool is the value of a domain. How do you value domains if that's not really your expertise and you have a domain evaluation system? What do you use to gather that or try and put numbers on that? What's your rationale and your method behind putting values?
Yeah, we when AI kind of took off last year, I think we immediately saw the potential. And one of the things we built right away was our domain appraisal tool. So obviously, a big part of that is parsing the domain name. Like, what language is it? What part of speech is it? Noun, verb? Like, what does the domain mean, actually, right? So that part, AI does really well. But another big part of the appraisal tool is data. And we do have historical data because we have a marketplace that we've had for like 15 years. We've had auctions for 15 years. So we do have quite a bit of historical data that we can use to train the results of the appraisal tool.
Yeah, so it'll get better and better with time. As
yeah,
absolutely. And Leanne, what's your favorite tool for appraising values of domains? What do you use on your tools on a daily basis?
I wouldn't say I use tools so much, but I use a lot of websites. So the LinkedIn and Open Corporates are the big ones for me. I'm looking for the SLD sort of being in use with companies. Either the full name, or, you know, if it's like a oneword.co, then I'll just want to see a lot of companies who might like to, you know, they might use, like, I don't know, I saw Bogdan bought nano.co yesterday. He's just posted that. So there might be a company that's like nano construction, nano this, nano that, who would like to brand on a shorter domain. So just seeing how many companies use that word, that's a really big one for me at the moment. What else? It's a bit late in the day for me thinking of all this stuff.
Yeah, it's okay. Well, I can tell you Josh Reason, who's my co-host here, who's a professional pickleball player, is in a pickleball tournament today, so he can't join us. But he had a really good talk last week. We talked about the SLD and looking to see it's how many companies are using that. And that's the most important, right? Because that's who's buying it. It's companies that are going to upgrade or like the word. And if the word's popular, then other companies are probably going to be using it as well. So I think I haven't done a great job of that. And you're emphasizing what he said last week and looking at Crunchbase, looking at LinkedIn, looking at Open Corporate, right? Yeah.
Open Corporates. Yeah, exactly. If you're getting names that aren't really in use, then you're kind of just waiting for someone to have an idea to call their company that, and then maybe they get the name from you. And that's just all a bit too uncertain for me. That's more down the brandable route, which some people are really good at picking those names, but then just waiting for someone to either come up with that idea themselves, or maybe see it on a site like, you know, a brandable marketplace like Atom. That's just, I like to have a little bit more control and up the odds a little bit more with my names. So if I'm seeing, you know, 50 companies on Open Corporates that use that domain that I have, then, you know, happy days, I'm going to buy that name.
Yeah, I'm... I was the opposite, and I was more brandables, but at least I was fortunate and took short words, like five letter words that tended to look like real words but aren't. And so, but I am definitely focusing more and trying to divert my portfolio to exactly like company in use names. So I'm learning on these talks just like everybody else as far as how to keep a portfolio that moves, right? That's the goal, is to have a portfolio that sells. So no, I think that's great. Now, when it comes to alternate, gTLDs or alternate TLDs, other than .coms, is there anything that you like? You said .co. Is there anything that like you look at, any certain types that you're looking for that are non-coms?
Well, there's the sort of new wave, isn't there, at the moment of the .co, the XYZ, the AI. So they're all staying strong. It's just, but you know, it's hard to pick up anything really decent in that for a really decent price at the moment. So elsewhere, I have a bunch of .IDs, which is kind of speculative. And the portfolio of .IDs that I have, it ticks over. It's not been visible for a couple of years, but it's paid for itself. So that's fine. When I first got into .id, it was that sort of big crypto bull run a couple of years ago where Swetha was selling loads of .xd and NFTs were through the roof. And, you know, I looked at her and thought she had the conviction to sort of be an early adopter of that extension and the conviction to renew, and was obviously selling enough along the way to keep that portfolio ticking over. And I literally just thought, oh, what can I be an early adopter of? Like quite naively, just scrolling through all the different extensions. And I saw .cx, and I'd kind of seen that referenced as like customer experience. And I thought, well, you know, there could be a bit of something in that. So I think I bought about 20 of those. And then I saw .id, and like it just looks cool and sounds cool. But also I thought, well, digital identity is a big topic the last couple of years, and kind of increasingly will be, because proving you are who you are online without giving up every piece of information you have about yourself is tricky. So so I bought about 20 of those as well. And within 2 weeks, I sold one for $5,000. And I thought, okay, this is cool. And then I got the next week, I got an offer on one for $5,000 that I accepted. And then the guy backed out. And then I saw Swetha sell spiral.xyz. And I thought, oh, that's a great SLD. So I bought that in .id. And then the next day, I sold that for $10,000.
The next day, so I thought, within a couple of days.
Yeah. So I thought I tapped into some amazing vein where I could just hand register these names, and you know, a couple of weeks later they'd sell for 4 or 5 figures. But then after that, I think I sold one more for $5,000 within about a month, and then kind of nothing for a year. And then I think I've sold one this year, and that was in January. So when I had that run early on, I just kind of bought a couple of hundred, you know, like you say, reinvest in the profits. But then everything kind of died down a bit, and now it's just at the point where it's ticking over. So I'm happy to hang on to them for another couple of years, and we'll see what happens in the digital identity space. That's not really kicked off yet. I think that's in its infancy. There's a lot of legs left there. But, you know, I have to sell one or two a year to kind of keep the costs going. So see, they're great SODs that I have. So it would never be in the .ai vein or XYZ vein. It's just far, far too niche. But could I sell everyone that I have for $5,000-$10,000? Like, yeah, I could, if the space just kind of, there's a bit more innovation in the space and maybe one or two big players that really do something innovative that people start working with. But we'll see. It's you know, as with a lot of domain stuff, it's speculative, isn't it? As soon as you kind of go outside of the box.
But you have to for those
big, yeah, we'll see what happens with
big
that.
Wins, but sometimes you just have to go that last 10%. You have to get speculative and try new things. And, you know, the people that are killing it in .ai are generally people that were paying huge renewal fees for years and years and years. Like people think they just got the names, and you look at the history, they paid like 3 or 4 years of renewal fees on 1,000.ai.
Yeah, the conviction. I mean, my God, I'm very risk averse, which is why I'm keeping these .id, because they are ticking over and they are paying for themselves. But you know, if there was a year where they kind of didn't, I'd really struggle to have the conviction to keep them. Or maybe it's not conviction, maybe it's deep pockets. I don't know. Maybe it's both.
Yeah, I think it's probably a little of both. Todd, you have good insight since you have a huge registrar. What are some new TLDs that you're seeing moving forward getting lots of registrations over the last couple of years. I know you put out on Twitter, you know, some of the new hot TLDs and things you're seeing. What are some that you're seeing over the last year that have really moved forward?
CC is doing really well. CO is doing well. VIP, top, XYZ, quite a few of like the new GTLDs are doing really well. I would say maybe in the aftermarket, like AI, IO, probably are doing the best. But it's interesting, like I do see a shift kind of, before it was like calm is king, right? And I think I'm starting to see a shift where there's more and more value in other TLDs. And I'm based in the Bay Area, and there's just so many startups here using Co, IO, AI, XYZ, you know, it's becoming, when you see like, you know, the next generation kind of adopting these TLDs, that's kind of when you know that there's going to be some sort of future for them.
And it was, you know, it was bound to happen because there's the other names on .com, the words that they want are taken. So they're looking for a TLD that people will know, and they can use a word that they want to use, right? So that's what we're seeing. And the other thing is, like, my daughter, she doesn't assume it's a .com anymore. She asks if it's, you know, what it is. Or they go on Google, of course, and look for it. But yeah, I agree with you that it is expensive. It does get difficult because there are so many TLDs, what to get. But I think we all agree that probably .co, .io, and .xyz are the next choices for most when people are looking. But top is always it's always amazed me that top has been pretty strong for the last 5 years, .top. I don't see any resale, but you see lots of registration. Same with .cc. We talk about it all the time. We all want .cc to become special. It just makes sense. It's cryptocurrency. It's so many uses. And it really just, the resale's never really taken off. But they sure register the hell out of them, no doubt.
Yeah. I was in China earlier this year, and I met the CEO of .top. It's a Chinese company. They're based in Nanjing. And I was just asking him, like where are you, who's buying all these domains? And like, because we sell so many of them. And he's like, well, we don't do any promos, you know, we don't do anything special. Like, people are just buying them, you know. Of course, they have the first year promo, but that's it, you know.
Yeah, And it's been well adopted. There's no doubt about it. It's I always look at it because I see it on your list all the time. Is .top is one of the top TLD. So yeah, it is interesting on that. As far as you know, on promos, I know everybody wants to know: do promos, do they work? Like when I see 99 cents or the catch, what are the if share these numbers? What are the chances that they're going to renew? And when they do renew, how long do they stay? Do you keep that kind of information around? Like, I know people are interested in the promos and whether they work on your side.
Yeah, we have all that data. If it's below a dollar, it's a dollar or less, it renews at less than 5%. So
yeah,
it's
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, anything over $10 will renew pretty well, like 50 or above percent usually.
Yeah,
but for us, I think customers are testing, you know, they buy it for a year, try to sell it or evaluate it. And then if they don't see any potential, they'll just drop. And if they've only paid a dollar, it's not a huge loss, you know?
Yeah. And that brings us to an important point. We've got another round of GTLDs coming up. Are you excited about that because there's new opportunity for sale? Are you worried about too many TLDs now? What thoughts on the next round?
You know, I was thinking like Dynadoc should apply for a few. But then I was talking to Jordan. He used to work at Union Registry and GoDaddy. He works at Dynadoc now. And he was saying, well, I don't know. He's not a huge believer in the next round. Because, well, first of all, a lot of the good strings were taken in the first round. And then secondly, if you look at the GTLDs, outside of maybe 20 strings, a lot of them haven't done that much, you know. We sell 700 TLDs, about 500 of them have less than 100 registrations total. You know, this is after 10 years, you know.
Yeah, that's not a profitable business model.
No, it's not. So
yeah, and then the ones that are going to be of value, you know, maybe keyword that didn't exist 10 years ago, especially in crypto, the prices on these rounds or these auctions are going to be astronomical.
Yeah, I can see like the crypto ones doing well.
Yeah, yeah, like dot chain. I know some people announced that they're going for dot chain, and I said, "Well, the pool, right? Like, there's going to be a lot of people going for dot BTC and dot chain and blockchain, and I mean, just the common word." So, yeah, I think it's going to be a very expensive, crowded next round.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely. On anything like outside of your investments, do you participate in crypto now? Do you make, you know, what's your investments other than your business? You know, I talked to Pac-Man or Tishan from Blur and Blast, and it's something he said, I invest only in my company. I have some crypto and I have no other investments at all. Are you similar or do you try and diversify as a person? And I'll ask the same with Leanne. Do you diversify away from domains?
Yeah, I have I have stocks and I bought a little bit of Bitcoin through my stock account. There's something called Fidelity has some kind of Bitcoin index fund or something. So I bought a little bit of that. But that, I say that would be it, just like a minor stock account. And I would say almost all of my time and effort goes into Dynadot.
Yeah, that's a good business answer. How about you, Leanne? Do you ever diversify outside of domains? What do your other investments look like?
I have some Bitcoin, but I wouldn't say I was invested in it because I mined it like 10, 12 years ago, you know, when you could just mine Bitcoin on your PC. So
impressive.
I don't have a huge amount, but I can kind of watch it without any attachment because I've no financial investment in it. So I can just watch the number go up and down and think, oh, that's interesting. I probably need to put a figure in my head of when I would cash it out. Because like I say, I just watch it. So yeah, I have that and I have some stocks and shares. Not a huge amount, but yeah, you know, it's, again, something to fire up an app every day and refresh it, check the numbers.
I love the fact that you were a Bitcoin miner. I didn't have that on my bingo card for you. I knew that you were technologically advanced, but I didn't see you running a miner.
Well, it was before you didn't need a rig or anything. Like you just did it on your graphics card on your PC. So it was coming up to the point where I think there was a halving event maybe. So it was a few months off getting to the point where you couldn't really do that anymore. So I was doing it for a couple of months and then the power to my PC broke and I'd just started my web design business. So I had like no money at all. And I think I'd mined about 30 pounds worth of Bitcoin, which is about $50. And the new power supply would have cost that much. And I was like, well, I can't justify $50 on a new power supply for this thing that maybe I can buy a pizza with somewhere in a couple of years. Or, you know, it was just kind of like that era of it. Obviously now, I that's a bit of a regret.
But still, I got
you didn't touch it.
So. You let it sit there the whole time? You haven't touched it at all?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I forgot about it for ages. And then I think next time I checked it was worth about $1,000. So I was like, what? Oh, this is crazy. And then I, locked it up a bit, treated it with a bit more respect. And yeah, I've just been refreshing the crypto apps since then. Wow. But, you know, sometimes it drops by half or whatever. I mean, you know what it's like. So, but as I say, I'm not financially invested in it. So I can just sit and watch it, and when it drops I just go, oh well, that's not ideal, and then when it goes up I go, oh, that's nice.
Yeah, that's so. A good place to be. That's and it's a great story. I'm a big person in stories, right? Like half the stuff I do, I'll do it just because I know if I crash and burn or if something bad happens, at least I'll get a good story out of it. And the fact that you can,
I mean, I could have, yeah, if I'd have bought that new power supply, I could have, you know, maybe 3-4 bitcoins. But wow. You win or you learn, you know?
Yeah, no, it's great. And I say all the time too, is I'm so happy where I'm at that I don't really care about what happened in the past. That's like, that led me here. So what it is, what it is. Like good and bad all led to the greatness that I get to experience every day. So no, I think that's a great story. On, you know, what's it look like going forward for you? Are you all in as far as, are you reinvesting, your money back in? Do you have to take money out for your daily bills? You know, as a domain investor, everybody, there's people in the audience and people that make a living. Do you try and keep your responsibilities financial to a minimum so you can keep building your portfolio? What's your kind of strategy? Do you look for 10x return? Do you have to up that? What do those numbers look like for you? What are you shooting for?
I reinvest everything that I can. You know, I take enough to pay the bills, but it's very much in the pasta and sauce phase of my domain investing. So I'll just put everything back in that I possibly can, because I know in, you know, a year, 2 years or whatever, that won't be an issue. And I can reinvest, I can take my, you know, I can do it all. So I just, some short-term pain for long-term gain, as they say, is kind of where I am at the moment. In terms of like 10x return or anything, I just tend to buy quite low. So I'll hand reg, close out, you know, no contest auctions or low contest auctions. And then I'll just price them between 2 and 5K. So the X I get in return, it kind of varies. But that's the kind of strategy, that's the kind of financials that I'm playing around with at the moment.
Yeah, and that's way above the next, but you're playing a little different game with the lower end cost domains, but high returns, but lower sales through. What kind of sales rate? I assume they're going to be a little lower when you're doing closeouts.
Not too bad, actually. I'm probably around 1.5%.
That's industry average. So that's exactly the fact that you're getting 1.5 with closeouts and uncontested auctions is fantastic. It's really a testament to the names you choose.
Well, that's it. It's not like, it's not just saying, oh, that sounds like a good name. It's actually checking if it is a good name. So yeah, there's a lot of research, even a $10 hand reg, I'll do a lot of research on it. So I used to buy a bit more blindly. Even then I was probably on maybe a similar sell-through rate, actually, because a lot of the names that I'm buying at the moment, where I'm sort of really digging into them, you know, they're new to the portfolio in terms of my portfolio age. So they're names that I'm going to be selling into next year and beyond. So what I'm selling at the moment is a mixture and names that I did just think, oh, that would be a good name for such and such, and not give it too much more thought than that. So hopefully with the work I've been doing this last year, that sell-through rate is going to go up for 2025 and beyond.
Yeah, I mean, that's always our goal is, you know, if your sell-through rate goes up, but your prices go down, it doesn't make sense. It's profit dollars that pay for the next domain and the bill. So it really comes down to profitability, not just the numbers. So you can beat numbers in anything you want. It really comes down to how much money are you getting when it all comes down to it. Because we're all obviously investing as much as we can, right? So it's not unlimited sources.
No, the thing about this industry is like, you know, you maybe want to experiment with a certain batch of names, but you're not going to know for 6 months to a year if that experiment has worked. So it's kind of like the time scale involved in these kind of things is quite frustrating, really, where you have an idea, you maybe want to buy 100 names to test it out, but then who knows if it works? You have to wait a year to see what you sold. So, that's a tricky aspect of the business for someone impatient like myself.
Well, for me, that's why I do so well. I'm a guy that plants a tree seedling and I have to wait 7 years for harvest, or I plant seeds that I don't know if they're going to germinate. So that's been my life. So waiting 6 months or a year seems like super quick for me. That's why crypto is really almost too exciting, because it moves so fast. But from a guy that plants for a living, it's all about patience. It's all about waiting and seeing how the crops come out. And maybe you have to trim a little more, fertilize a little more to make things go faster. So it'd be similar in domains, or maybe you price a little better, or you choose better product. But it still comes down to getting the best start. If you want to compare again, get back to gardening, get the best seed, get the best start. And then you'll get to where you need to go quicker. So that it all correlates. It all comes down to gardening.
That's a fantastic transferable skill. Like, who knew?
Yeah, no, I really didn't realize how much that my business would translate into life of just patience and waiting. And, you know, plants just, you know, resonate so well in so many other things. So, yeah, no, it's been a good skill for me. The problem is when I'm 55 now. 55, as you become older, you start looking at the calendar on the other side and start, you start pushing yourself a little bit. I'm constantly listening to like therapists and other people trying not to do a countdown clock so I don't push things faster because I feel like I don't have as much time. So that's it's a little bit harder, but that's for my therapist, not for the spaces here. But that did remind me of a question for Todd. I've noticed, you know, your expiring auctions are growing and growing. Is that because you have more domains under management? Like, for instance, I'm seeing a lot of, this week I saw a lot of three-letter.xyz. Is that just because you have people with registrations that are expiring, or are you dipping into a pool somewhere?
We have maybe 7 or 8 registrar partners that all feed their auctions or their domains into our auctions. Probably the biggest, most well-known one is Porkbun. So they send their expired. And as you know, Porkbun is one of the fastest growing registrars in the world. What's interesting about our system is they can also sell like Dynadot domains on their site too. So it's like a two-way auction system.
Yeah. Okay. I thought so. I mean, and that's Todd. That's Todd as well, right?
Ray King.
Again, great guy. Like one of the nicest guys in the business. So that's a good partner to have.
Yeah. And, you know, half of our business is domain investors. The other half is kind of like end users. So we do focus a lot on what domain investors want, what kind of tools they need. And I personally try to educate the registries that domain investors are your friends. They're basically a sales force for you to get your TLD out there into the world. And I think a lot of them, maybe they see maybe domain investors, maybe I would say maybe a third of them see them as like adversaries, you know, like, which confuses me. Like you really want people like buying into your domain and, you know, trying to go out there and sell your domain. Like that's actually free exposure. So,
yeah. And there, the other thing with the registries is they get the same renewal every year and it doesn't matter who bought it. So who would you rather have, a guy or a person buying 1,000 domains and paying the renewal, or a company operating on it? It doesn't really matter to them. They get the same amount of money per year.
Yeah, absolutely. But you do see like some registries are trying to maximize their revenue for their TLD to the point where it squeezes out investors, you know, everything becomes premium or whatever, or they get rid of expired auctions or, you know, stuff like that, you know?
So, yeah. The biggest tool I use is what's the renewal cost for XYZ, right? Because we see one word come up and then you look at the renewal and it's $2,300 a year. So you really have to check the renewal fee on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And some of the best performing TLDs in our system have no premiums at all, you know, Comnet.org, CC, you know, no premiums.
Yeah, no, I understand the business model. I mean, Digital ID can come in here and tell you why it works and doesn't work in XYZ. But we also know that XYZ started with, I mean, I remember my business partner, DSAD, Josh, bought 10,000 XYZs for a penny the first year when they had a penny sale. So he just bought 10,000 of them for $1,000. And he just went crazy. So they weren't always, so expensive, I don't think, out of the gate. Or maybe they were, but I know that they definitely maximize. And other people have followed that. And I think a lot more people will continue to follow that, trying to squeeze out the domain investors. But hey, that's their business model and domain investors will react accordingly. They'll either buy them or they won't buy them. But it is interesting to see that, I think it's kind of a grow, you know, like a snowball where your expiry auctions are doing very well. And then other people start adding more inventory. And then because you have more inventory that they're doing well. And I assume that's your business model, is to continue growing it that way.
Yeah. I mean, I think you had mentioned earlier that there's not a lot of money on the front end of the domain lifecycle. Our margins are like, for comm, they're like 4%, right? So we're making pennies on a comm sale. So we try to make it in the aftermarket. We try to make it with our website builder, our email hosting, et cetera. Domain investors don't buy that much website and email hosting, but the retail side of our business definitely buys that stuff.
How about, like, are you, I don't know if you can say it or not, are you interested in competing in the aftermarket with the landing page type, with the Afternic or Atom? There seems to be room for another player. Is that something on your horizon or things you thought about?
Definitely. We do have a free landing page service that's on Dynadot. We are seriously considering doing more with it. And that's all I'll say for now.
And you talk about your integration to take a sale. That's the other thing I thought was really important. You know, a lot of when it comes to escrow, you can bring a lead in. Is that that was something you added recently?
Oh, yeah. So it's called Bring Your Own Lead. And the way it works is you just send a link to your buyer. So you, basically, you already have a price set, right? So you send them an email and then they can pay through our system. We accept about 10 currencies. We accept about 30 different payment methods. And we'll handle the payment for you. We'll pay out to you. And then on the domain side, we'll switch the domain from your account to their account. The whole thing is secure and cheap. We charge only 5%.
Yeah, I think that's a great tool for people that want to put trust in it, because your name is growing and people certainly will use the Dynadot name as trust and be true escrow. I mean, I don't know if you can call it escrow, it's just transfer, but whatever you want to call it, it's still a trust thing that allows people to use you as the transfer service. So I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I love that idea too. We're going to add even more payment methods. We're going to support more crypto. You know, I think once we add crypto payments, we can maybe even lower it even more from the 5%. Because crypto, we're not charged by the credit card company. Like, the credit card company charges us like 3.5%, you know, every transaction. But crypto, the gas fees are, I don't know, like pennies, right? So
yeah, depending on the coin. So is that something, you know? And I haven't even looked. I mean, I've just always fill it with my credit card. But do you? What's your crypto look like now as far as working with crypto and the ability to register and pay for domains with crypto?
We support BitPay, which is, I'm sure you've heard of it, but we're about to add BTC server. And actually, I can ask your audience, we're considering giving discounts if you don't pay with credit card or PayPal. For example, if you pay with crypto, or if you pay with like direct debit or something.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we've been doing that in business for 50 years and we used to give a cash discount, right? Like it's the same concept as if you pay with, you know, if you have a business, you know, a debit card can be credit card, the cost can be anywhere from 3% to 5.5% depending on the card they use, right? So you actually don't know what your charge is going to be on the credit card because it depends on what card they use. If they use an Amex card, you're going to pay higher. But debit card, because of Walmart, is 0.5, 0.6, maybe even lower, 0.3, I can't remember. But debit cards are much, much less. And that's a huge difference. You know, at the nursery, I was doing $3 million in credit card service. The difference between 0.3 and 3.5 or 5 is a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, we paid... This hurts me to say this, but we paid $1.8 million in transaction fees last year.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Mostly credit card and PayPal. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. So it makes sense that you give a discount. Like, you might as well share that savings with your customer if they'll pay in crypto or debit card. That makes complete sense. And I know people like to play with crypto. And as we talked privately before, no chargebacks. You know, once you have the crypto, it doesn't come back.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I hate chargebacks. Man, we get quite a few of them, unfortunately.
Yeah. And that affects your rate too. So the more chargebacks you have, the higher the rates go. So how about Leanne? Do you ever get people off paying crypto? Like, has crypto come into your domain world when it comes to payments?
No, not once actually. No. I don't know if it's because I don't have many crypto related names, and that's where a lot of the crypto payments come from in the space, I think. But no, for a normal domain, no one's ever asked.
And as far as escrow, do you sell through like the services like Afternic or Adam? Do you ever have third party where you have to do your own escrow? What do you use?
No, I haven't done that. I think maybe a very, very long time ago, like maybe when I first started, I did a call on Flipper and they would do it through escrow, because I think that's even the same company, isn't it? Escrow and Flipper.
At least was at some point. I think Matt Berry owned both of them.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've used it then, but in my time, like as an established domain investor, it's just all been through the marketplaces. So just through Dan, Afternic, Dynadot. I had a couple of months ago, I had my landers pointing to Afternic and got a sale through Dynadot that was priced much higher than it was on Afternic. So that surprised me, but really happy with how all that went. But yeah, always just through the marketplaces.
Yeah, I mean, for domain investors, this is kind of, almost everybody knows this, but getting your domain names in the registration path is really important, whether it's at Dynadot or GoDaddy or anywhere. Having a landing page where they type it in and see it, and then in the registration path is really important. And if you don't think it is, most domain investors I know sell domains for more in a, and it's more than a landing page. So they'll pay $6,500 and they could have gone the landing page $5,000, but they found it during the search. Yeah. So
yeah, the distribution and visibility is just everything, isn't it?
Yep. They have to know. If you have something for sale and it's sitting in your closet, nobody's ever going to know you have it for sale. You got to put it out for sale. It's just a simple process, but I'm always surprised how many people don't do that for every name and keep that organized. It's just the most important thing you do. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. So, Todd, is there anything you're excited about in 2025 that you're going to, that you can talk about, like a focus going forward that you can't, that I know you can't say it if you haven't announced it yet, but what's the most exciting part of 2025 you're looking forward to?
We'll be lowering our prices next year a little bit. They're already pretty low, but we're going to lower them some more. We're doing more with AI, with our domain appraisal, more integration with the marketplaces. We have full Afternic and Cedo integration through the Dynadot control panel. So you can list at Cedo, Dynadot, you can list it at Dynadot marketplace as well, which makes you show up in the Dynadot search. I think we have a big project that I can't quite announce yet. And then what else? Yeah, I'm just excited. I feel like 2023 was a little slow for us. I think we were coming out of COVID and people just wanted to be outdoors and maybe not do so much virtual online stuff. But 2024 was good for us and all signs point to a good 2025 as well.
And how about you, Leanne? Are you you excited about 2025? Did you have some good momentum going forward?
Yeah, this time last year, I couldn't have said that. And in fact, this time, 2 years ago, I couldn't have said that. So yeah, through doing the stats, I'm seeing the last few months, the market's really been picking up. So yeah, for the first time in 2 years, I'm optimistic about the year ahead in terms of the market and how that's performing. But on a personal level, just the work I've put in the last sort of 6 months, I think I'll see the fruits of that labor next year as well, to a point at least. So yeah, I'm super excited for 2025.
Yeah. Oh, I wanted to ask Leanne and Shane, do you guys use .db.com?
I don't.
Yes.
You do?
No, I do, yeah.
I'm just curious. We added it to our site. I'm just wondering what you guys think of it.
To the auctions or to the portfolios or?
Yeah, we added it to our expired auctions just like as another data point.
I think it's a great data point. That's probably the third thing I check. So I'll check LinkedIn and Open Corporates and sort of Crunchbase, that kind of thing. But then, yeah, then I will check .db because you can set in there, this SLD at the beginning. So then you can see everything that people who've got that, but also have with a suffix. So then again, if you've got quite a cool one word .co, you might have someone on a two word .net and you get to find them through .db. So really good for that kind of thing, especially if you're planning on doing some kind of outbound for it. You can see everyone that has what you think is an inferior version of a domain name. So yeah, I really like it for that.
Okay, thank you.
Do you, Leanne, do you do outbound? Are you more of a park and wait? Do you add some outbound to your sales?
I jump in and out of outbound. So it kind of depends how the inbound sales are going. If they're a bit quiet, then I'll jump on outbound, try and generate some leads through that. So yeah, I'm in and out. I'll probably have phases of outbound maybe 3 times a year. I'll do it for a few weeks, maybe a month. I mean, the goal is just to have inbound, isn't it? So that's what I'm working towards. But I do jump on it to generate some cash flow when needed, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that's what we all, or if I find one that's just a good outbound, there's some that are easier than others, right? That have a direct market.
Yeah.
So I pick off the easy ones when it comes to outbound. but ideally we also want to do mini work, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's the goal, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, if you see a two-word.com and there's a really big brand operating with a hyphen or on the .net, then if you can get that for a good price, that's, you know, you're going to sell that for a profit, however much that might be, you'd be able to flip it super quick. So yeah, that's low hanging fruit. That's always good.
Yeah, absolutely. And we can take questions from the audience here towards the end or right now. If anybody wants to come up and ask Todd or Leanne questions, this is a really good time. You can just request to speak. One thing I would be amiss if I didn't ask you, Todd, what you think about blockchain and DomainFi. Like, do you see an opportunity here in the future when it comes to loans against domains and using blockchain as a tool to get more liquidity out of domains?
Yeah, I've been researching this a lot this year, and I've been meeting with quite a few companies operating in the intersection between domain names and the blockchain. And I do think it makes sense to tokenize domain names, make them into NFTs, because there are so many NFT marketplaces and they're so active. So I think it makes a lot of sense. We're still kind of formulating our strategy as to how to best approach combining domains and blockchain, but I do think we're going to do something this year. And as far as using the blockchain as a currency, I'm all in on that. I think it makes so much sense to pay for domains with cryptocurrency. And like, we're going to add a bring your own lead feature that supports cryptocurrency that has an even lower commission than 5%. So yeah, I'm excited about it, actually.
Yeah, and I can be transparent. You and I have talked a lot with, you know, with D3 and talking about, you know, Fred and those guys are trying to do things when it comes to domain finance, because there is a whole market out there, right? And I've talked to you about this. You know, if I can go with my monkey picture and go get a loan, you know, for $20,000 on it, but I can't take my best domain and get a penny on it without like calling somebody up and doing it the old fashioned way, like in the back of the bar, that just doesn't make any sense. It's an asset, right? Like, these domains are worth tens, if not hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions in some cases, and yet nobody is giving you the ability to take a loan on that domain. And I think you saw that future, which I love to see, and I think people will see that once it happens, right? You have to see the future, but most people, when they see it actually happening, will probably start jumping on board.
Yeah, I have to admit, it took me a while to get it, because at first I was like, you know, didn't the whole blockchain thing crash already like a couple years ago? But actually, I don't think that's true. I think maybe it's retrenching, but I don't think it's going away. And there's just, like you said, there's an immense amount of liquidity in the blockchain space, and we should kind of tap into that with the domain space.
Yeah, no, it's you want to, when people are spending, I mean, if you're in the crypto world and you're looking at people spending billions of dollars on things that don't make sense, you want that to come towards domains, which are the first and best digital asset. So, you know, I'm kind of waving my flag here, but it just makes sense to me that domains are such a valuable asset, and blockchain is such a incredible technology that those two certainly should merge in many ways. Not every way. Like, I've also said that blockchain people are a hammer and they're trying to make everything into a nail, and some things just work on Ledger well, right? Lots of things that work just fine on API. You do not need blockchain, but there's some things that work better on blockchain or will work better.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have some questions about the whole Oracle stuff, you know, trying to bring like real world data into the blockchain. That to me is kind of like, sometimes at least, it seems like a hack a little bit.
It's an API. APIs work pretty well doing that a lot of times.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So, I think the key there is paying for that information, right? So right now, somebody pays a monthly fee for an API. Let's just use domain valuation. Let's say somebody has a domain valuation product that is better than anybody in the world. And right now, they could charge somebody a monthly fee, an enterprise level fee or something, to use that data. Blockchain, it'll just be charged per use. That's how it'll work.
Okay.
So every time someone makes a call to get a domain value, they'll pay a tenth of a penny. So that's really the only difference. Instead of paying monthly fees, it'll just be a use case fee that every time you call the Oracle, there's a gas fee. So it's the same thing. It's just a different concept, and it's much easier to structure.
Would it be done through like a contract or something?
Yeah. A smart contract? Yeah, through a smart contract, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, in the middle. So it's essentially an API going into a contract that feeds into a data system. So you're seeing it already with like Chain. That's essentially what Chainlink does, is they provide all those different oracles as well to provide that kind of data. So there's a really good future. It gets technological, but there is a, I see a lot of it being used. And I think, and I also think stable coins will be the key. Like Ripple's gone to a stable coin because nobody wants, you know, when you get paid at Dynadot and you get paid with something that fluctuates 10% a day, it's not your ideal business model. You want something that's more stable. So I think you're going to see a lot more stable coin use when it comes to blockchain, but that's for a whole different discussion. Let's have Kate come up. Kate's one of my favorite people in the space. She's an original domain investor, but she also has become quite the crypto and NFT person, and she's killing it. She makes great videos and a great personality. Kate, you want to introduce yourself and ask a question? You're on mute, Kate.
Now I'm not.
Now you're not. Hey, Kate, thanks for coming on up.
Yeah, thanks for letting me get up here. Yeah, Shane, you always ask great questions. And Toddy, I'm so happy to meet you. I read your story a long time ago. But I remember about Dynadot. I remember Dynadot was where I had I own GIFs.tv. I think that's where they had the auction for whatever, when you had to pay the fees. But yeah, so I love all the questions on the blockchain stuff. I just try to keep up with all this stuff. I can follow pretty much all of it conceptually. So I'm not as smart as Shane, of course, or any of these other people here. But yeah, I enjoy it tremendously. I actually own blockchain.bar. I own crypto.show. I think you guys probably know who Charlie Shrem is.
Yeah.
I actually, believe it or not, Shane, Charlie lives around this area now too, but I actually partnered with him for access to his show, and then he dropped it. I saw him at a meetup, and I'm like, I said, I'm going to kick you there, Charlie, you little monkey. You dropped that name. But anyways, so look at all that. So much is so intertwined. I've learned about blockchain way back in the beginning. For me, blockchain is just like connecting with people. That's really all you look at. It's the connector of people. So let's see. So Todd, question for you. I know that you, you talked about being early, and you talked about your wife supporting you, and so what's a I can ask you a specific question. I'm going to ask you this question. I'm going to ask you about you. How about that? So, I'm going to ask you about the stress of all this and making decisions. And I know that you give back to your employees, and I know that Shane mentioned about looking at the cars outside. Of course, those cars could very well be not owned 100% outright, right? But what is they don't really own them, do they, Todd? Right. So, anyways, So, mental health wise, what do you do to take a break? I really want to know that, because I've known too many people, especially in this space, I know of more mental health breakdowns and more suicides than most people know about. So, I'm going to ask that hard question and ask what you do to relax and do your really commitment to it.
Wow, Kate, that's an amazing question. thank you for that question. It is true that it is very stressful to run a business. And the domain space, as you know, there's so many registrars and it's very competitive. And so, and we don't have a lot of margin for error. We just have to execute very well every day and be very efficient. So it is very stressful. And I do remember during COVID, I got pretty depressed because I didn't realize it, but I do need like a lot of social interaction, and like having all that cut off during those 1 or 2 years was very hard for me. What I do kind of outside of work is a couple of things. One is I do a lot of sports. I play Ultimate Frisbee, which is kind of like soccer, but with the Frisbee. So it's a lot of running, a lot of sprinting. So that keeps me in pretty good shape. And then my other hobby is social dance. I do tango dancing.
Nice.
So I go a couple times a week, and my wife does it too. And we just go out, and we have a lot of like dance friends that we've gotten to know over the years. And like you dance, you kind of, you listen to music, you kind of interpret the music creatively. So it's very good for the soul, I would say. And so I, that's probably the two things I do to keep sane.
I love it, Todd. That's so beautiful and wonderful. Yeah, music is so key. I'm trying to listen to more music as well. You know, it's interesting what you mentioned about with the social. And I heard you say earlier how that's why you jumped onto Twitter. By the way, you're saying that you respond just what once a day, even though you might be tied up in meetings. It could also be that maybe you think before you respond, which a lot of people don't, right? That's it. So once a day, it's called thinking. And speaking of thinking, I just read this. I can't remember who posted it, but who the heck is it? It's a friend of Morgan Linton's, Greg Eisenberg, very smart man. And he said how he was interviewing a guy, man, that was 22 years old, who was fresh out of, I think, Stanford or whatever. And he was talking with him one-on-one, an in-person type of a thing. And he just mentioned how this young man hesitated and kept hesitating, like almost like stuttering. And, you know, he kind of, I can't remember if he asked him, but basically what this young man said was that he was so reliant on the guy was very smart, so reliant on AI for talking for him, for writing for him, for thinking for him. And, you know, what about like human cognition? I thought that was very fascinating, and that a lot of people too, you know, way back when, the gist of story was that, you know, back people would say about calculators. And
yeah.
But if you don't have one, anyway, so, and Leanne, welcome aboard. I really don't do any domain stuff, except I do. And I own Kate.co. Can I say that here?
You sure can. I know you've got for sale, right? Kate.co.
Yeah, I've owned my names. I own Kate.tv was one of my first, and I still own a bunch of them. Hi, Michael. Michael's still there, right? So yeah. And Joe, thanks for popping in there. But you know, I can't sit still and write different things. But yeah, and you sent me to LinkedIn to find some stuff. But yeah, I have Kate.co. See, I have a mission. I want to be able to buy some notes, some Beam notes. So I have it up for $11,111. Buy it now, and it's going to be there for 24 hours. So
I thought that was great. I mean, you don't find a lot of people our age wanting to sell a domain name to buy nodes on a blockchain. That's just, I love that. When I showed my wife, I said, this is Kate. Kate's trying to sell domain names so she can buy nodes on a blockchain. This is my world. This is what I love about it. This is the diversification on it. So, Kate, I appreciate you up here and asking a question. That was a great question. Leanna, let's ask that same question to you. Do you have something you do to relax, a hobby? I know you like football or soccer, as we call it in the U.S. What do you do to relax to just get away from looking at screens all day?
Well, I just want to say hi, Kate, first of all. Well, football isn't very relaxing for me at the moment because my team is very, very bad. So we won't get stressed with that. I like getting out into nature. I'm quite lucky where I live. There's quite a few spots local. So yeah, just getting out for a nice walk with friends and family, a bit of fresh air. That's a big one. And then just setting boundaries work-wise of not, you know, sitting at the computer for 12 hours straight and that kind of thing. Just, making sure not to do that. Lots of little breaks and like I say, just trying to get out amongst some trees and breathing all that in. You know, there's a lot of science around the chemicals in forests and things that just do crazy good things for your brain. So, I find that's really important and really helpful. So yeah, that's a big one for me. What about you, Shane?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big runner. It's my, when I had, when my daughter was young, I just, in the business, is really my only hour a day where nobody asked me questions. You know, at the nursery, and Todd again can agree to this, you always have somebody pinging you. And when you're at home, you always have, you know, you're number three when you're married with child. So when I'm running, I'm number one and I can just be to myself. So I still try and do that all the time. So exercise, but I love the dance part. I mean, Todd, we have people at my work that took up dance during, before COVID, and it was really hard on them because they love the social night with a group dance. So they go to lessons during the week and then do group dancing on the weekends. And they love it. They're getting in great shape. I notice they're in great shape from dancing all the time. They get to dance. And I didn't mean this in a positive way, you know, touch other people. Human touch is really powerful. And when you're sitting behind a computer or doing things, to go out and just, you know, touch and feel and dance. That's really big. I know we're getting kind of philosophical here, but there's really something important. And Michael Law last week in our talk did a really good job explaining his day of when he's behind a computer, how he broke it up. And I loved it. He would, you know, he wouldn't do things maybe in a normal day that people do because we have a different job here in domains, but we're able to break it up and leave lunch and go work out or go do this, and just making sure that you get away from the computer. And we're better at our jobs if we get away from our jobs. And that's hard to understand for most people, but when you get it, you'll get it. You'll understand that getting away from what you do all the time actually will make you better. The grind is overemphasized. Like, grinding is good for short terms, but grinding long term doesn't last. You have to ungrind sometimes. So I think that's really important. I'm glad you asked that question, Kate. That's a really good question. Well, we'll wind it up here. If anybody else has any more questions, I appreciate anybody who's come here today. We do record this. I pick out all the ums and uhs earlier in the before everybody joined us, but I do put it up on Apple Podcast. I also put it, it'll be a spot, all your favorite places with podcasts. So we kind of turn this into a podcast, and it's recorded here on Twitter Spaces for if you want to share it and let other people listen to it. I think Todd gave some just great information. Leanne, great information. And we're going to do this every week, bringing just bright people, domain people on stage, and just tell us about who they are and what they do. We can be better and just learn a little bit more about the people we see every day. Because we all know Dynadot and we know Leanne, but we don't really know. So I'm glad we got to do this. And I'll let everybody leave with some closing thoughts. Todd, any big plans for the year? Are you going to kind of just finish up and just prepare for next year?
Yeah, we have quite a few projects in the pipeline, improvements for domain investors. I would say I made my travel schedule last week, so I'll be going to ICANN, going to ICA meetings. If anyone's going, I'd love to meet with you guys. Probably be going to a NamesCon in Miami. Feel free to contact me on Twitter if you guys need anything. I'm always happy to talk to everyone.
All right. Yeah, no, it's, we got our ICA and stuff going on earlier in the year. It's like we lost Leanne. I asked her to come back up here. Oh, right when we were going to do the closing statements. Well, we may not get to say goodbye to Leanne, but we really do thank her for coming today and helping co-host. Hopefully Josh. Oh, there she is. Yeah, Leanne, any big plans for the rest of the year? How are you going to finish out the year?
Sorry, I think I lost my internet or something there. Big plans for the rest of the year? No, nothing big. Just a lot of friends and family time over Christmas and New Year, and then just be sure that I'm recharged, ready to go, foot to the floor for 2025. I don't know what I missed of anyone else saying what their plans were. So
we were just talking about maybe ICA, Dominion, some of the other ICANN at the beginning of the year. I know that's a pretty far flight for you to come across the pond, but
yeah, that's a bit of a mission.
Yeah, maybe Miami, maybe NamesCon. That's a good place. If you're going to come over, that's a good place to go.
Yeah, November, that one, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's next. No, I think it's spring. I should know this. I think it's actually spring. I think they moved it, but I could be wrong. I'm not positive.
What, NamesCon?
Yeah, NamesCon, yeah.
I think it's start of November, because I remember thinking, oh, if I had a decent year, that's I could maybe right. go to that.
Isn't that how it goes? I love it. That's like, that's all my things. When I make a plan, it's if I sell a lot of domains, then I get to do this. If I don't sell of it, then I get to watch it from home. So yeah, that's how it rolls.
Yeah, it's about what else you have going on as well, because like you say, for me to go to the US, it's a big trip. It's an expensive trip. So I would have to not be doing a trip with friends and family to do a trip for work, if you know what I mean. So yeah, I need like really good years to be able to justify spending that money on a work trip rather than spending that money on doing some stuff around Europe.
Yeah,
with some friends. So there's that kind of trade off as well in my mind.
Well, I'm coming to see you for the Chelsea Garden Show, so I'll be there. I already told you you're my backup. I'm taking my mom because she's all wanted to go. So I made you my plus one in case she can't make it. So
I'm gonna make sure I'm free just in case.
You're gonna send my mom some poison food just so you can go to Chelsea.
Me?
Well, I appreciate it, everybody. Todd, thanks again so much. Leanne, again, I appreciate it. Stay tuned every week. Make sure to follow everybody up here. Make sure to follow Todd. Make sure to follow Leanne or anybody in the crowd. Take the next couple seconds here to everybody, make sure you follow them. If you need to DM, I'm sure they're more happy than to help a little bit. Don't send them a shitty name and tell them, ask them what it's worth, though. We get plenty of that. So, all right, everybody. Thanks again for listening to The Art of Domains. Next week, we hope to have Josh back again. And we'll see you next week. Actually, I think we've got Christmas. Don't listen to me on that. We'll have to decide what we do. Christmas is next Wednesday. It's a little holiday for a lot of us. So we'll let you know when it's going to be, but we will be back. Everybody, have a great day, and thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Thanks, Leanne. Bye-bye.
Thank you. See you, Todd. See you, Kate. Bye.